So I'll start off today with a reading from the Christmas story told by Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a young woman engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. The young woman's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. We can in our minds imagine Mary 2,000 years ago hearing that voice and hearing those words. Could we imagine those words being actually spoken to us? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. I believe ultimately, not only can we hear those words, but I think actually every one of us is going to eventually hear them. Because each one of us is a creation of God. Each one of us is a part of God. So the question is, why aren't we hearing the words now? Why aren't we hearing that same message now about what's ours? Well, as you know, Kay and I recently took a trip to Italy. And when you go to Italy, you see lots of artwork, and a lot of it's religious artwork. All sorts of paintings and beautiful art. Many paintings of the Annunciation of the Virgin. The scene where the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she's favored by God, that she's going to give birth to something sacred, and that something wondrous is going to enter her life. But what you notice in most of the paintings is that Mary is quite well dressed. She is in a place that looks more like a palace than a home. That the angel is dressed up as a noble person with wings. And if you see them on the front of the Christmas card, they're really pretty. Or in the gallery, they're very pretty. But every bit as pretty as they are, they could also be a little misleading. Because they point toward non-ordinary situations. Something you or I or Mary herself would never have experienced. So they can be a little distracting. Same holds true for many of the other images we see of stories in the Bible or characters in the Bible. Also learned a very interesting thing. Of course, Mary is said to have had an immaculate conception. I'm in an art gallery and I'm reading the little things beside the pictures. And I learned that that story of her immaculate conception didn't get started until the 1400s. And that it didn't actually become official church doctrine until 1854. That, by the way, was also the same year Charles Fillmore was born. So what happens if we set aside these very beautiful but very fanciful images and begin coming back to probably what actually occurred and what might be a little more real? I like to remind people that Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth, a small town in the hills of Judea. We don't know a whole lot about them and their family life. The only word we really know that gives us any description is Joseph is described as a tecton. It's a Greek word. It does not mean a merchant. It does not mean a person with land or money. It means someone that works with their hands. That's literally what it means. By tradition, we're told that he is a carpenter and a craftsman. There wasn't a lot of wood back then. And people didn't have furniture as we think of furniture. So the description tecton may be more that he was someone who worked as a laborer with his hands. He and Mary would have lived in a very simple one or two room home along with other members of Joseph's extended family because that's how people lived back then. So, scrub the images of beautiful robes and garments replaced them with simple peasant clothes, probably one outfit per person, didn't have to worry what to wear that day. Scrubbed the image of palatial homes, the beautiful scenes we saw there, replaced that with bare walls and little or no what we would think of furnishings inside the home. As for the beautiful robed and winged angel Gabriel, is that actually what angels look like? Is that actually what angels look like? You know, it's interesting. I grew up in Christian Science, very similar to Unity. And in Christian Science, they say over and over again, angels are God's thoughts made known to men and women. Angels are God thoughts made known to men and women. Same idea Charles and Myrtle Fillmore share in Unity. And while it may be tempting to attach beautiful figures to that, such images can be distracting to us. If we begin to think that's what angels must look like, then we may just miss the angels and the God thoughts that show up in our life that are much more simple, much more present, and equally profound. Remember, it's the message, not the appearance of the messenger. So when you see the beautiful images on the Christmas cards and stuff, appreciate them. But I would invite you to release the idea of beautifully dressed people in elegant robes, divinely decked out messengers, and to realize it can be much more simple. It probably was much more simple. And what we're left with when we take away all those fancy images is an ordinary person in an ordinary situation, having a very extraordinary experience, a very profoundly beautiful experience about something that's about to happen in her life. And of course, that profound experience, that profound insight, probably also made her aware that her life was about to change a lot, and that her way of thinking probably needed to change to match up with that. Maybe those ideas are more helpful than the fancy pictures. Because when we see opulent settings and special clothing and all that, that's generally what we think of about other people. We generally relate to that as what other people experience. And if the purpose of the Christmas stories is to prepare us to experience an inner experience, a birth of the Christ awareness in us, a birth of who we truly are, then we need something that we can relate to, something a little more realistic. Can you imagine if Mary and Joseph and Jesus had been rich people with fancy clothes and a fancy home, and Jesus goes out to give the Sermon on the Mount and says, well, you know, blessed are the well-fed, blessed are the well-dressed, blessed are those with lots of money. It wouldn't have had much impact, would it? And nobody would have listened. On the other hand, if the purpose of the Christmas stories is to help us understand that, like Mary and Joseph, we too can connect with divine messages, with divine messengers, we can experience the birth of Christ in us, or the birth of the deeper awareness of Jesus, or the Christ, or God, well, then there's something that we can begin working with right here and right now. I always make up a little title for the talks. I titled today's Angels in the Night. Angels in the Night. You know, in the Bible, it doesn't say when the angel showed up. It doesn't say if it was daytime or nighttime. We usually see it pictured as daytime, but, you know, we're also told that when the angels visit Mary's husband Joseph in Matthew, that it happens in dreams in the night. So, could equally have happened. We don't know if the angel message shows up for Mary while she's out gathering sticks and brush to bake her, to fire up the oven to bake bread. We don't know if it happens while she's lugging big water pots from the spring down on the side of the hill back up to the house, or if she's in prayer, or if she's just asleep. My experience, and maybe some of you have had this, whenever an angel message or an angel idea shows up for us, it's like an experience of a little bit of light or illumination penetrating into the somewhat dimness or darkness of our everyday thinking. Thus my title, Angels in the Night. Because I would imagine if you could actually look at us individually and collectively from a higher or divine perspective, we'd probably all look like we were kind of wandering in the dark. You know, dimmed perception, lot of distraction, lack of understanding. But yet, even into that, divine ideas, angel messages, show up for us. They show up. We may say they're too little to be of importance. I don't think I've ever found one that was too little when I really was willing to sit with it. And we may feel, when that happens, like we've been visited by an angel or had an angel message delivered. And we indeed have when those things show up. And when you have a message or you have an experience like that or an insight like that, it is very beautiful. Those of you that have experienced have noticed there is a sense of beauty to it. So I can get why artists, when they're trying to convey what it is that angels are sharing, might paint the angel as very beautiful and radiant, because the ideas are beautiful and radiant, but not necessarily the being itself. My point for today is to remind us that the angel messages, the divine ideas, don't just show up for well-dressed people living in fine-looking homes and via, you know, beautiful messengers with huge wings and flowing robes. Some of the most profound and transformational experiences we read about in our Bible happened to very simple people. This is the song Roger shared, Noah, you know, sitting out looking at the desert doing his work. Message shows up. You've got something to do. Mary, maybe carrying water, baking bread for the family, doing routine chores, having a message. Something is about to happen. It's true in the Christian tradition. It's true in many other faith traditions. The messengers are simple, ordinary people. The messages are profound and changing. And I would assume that when Mary gets the message, whatever the message was she got, that it probably shifted her inwardly too. Probably changed her whole being. That seems to me very important. And that, again, is what I would like you to consider when you see beautiful images on Christmas cards of Mary and angels and that. Remember that those are pictures of probably what is happening inside the people, not necessarily what the people themselves looked like. Consider it as a representation of the inner state. Of course, that brings us back to us. Us in our inner state. As we experience the stories of the birth of Jesus, or and we see images of his family or the Annunciation or whatever we happen to see, can we remind ourselves that even though the images are probably not historically, even vaguely true, they do have a message for us, a reminder for us of the beauty of the experience that happened for very ordinary people in very ordinary settings as those angel messages show up. Maybe we can imagine them as symbols of inner healing or the penetration of illumination, of light coming into the darkness, of confused minds, minds that are stuck with the level of the world, but minds that have a divine origin. Light coming into the dark. So I was thinking about that. I thought of part of a psalm. In Psalm 139, the question is asked, where can I go away from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you're there too. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say to myself, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you. So angels in the night. Night being simply our present inability to see clearly. To see clearly the ones around us as God sees them. To see ourselves as God sees us. To see creation as God sees it. To see the possibilities for good that are being born every day. Every day. In 1,000 different ways. Not just at Christmas. Angels, God's ideas, shared with us, are bringers of tidings not just of joy, but of healing, of healed perception, healed thinking. So the question for us is, how are we going to feel when the word or the idea shows up in our mind one day? Greetings, favored one! The Lord is with you! You have found favor with God! Will we let it settle in? Will we take it seriously? Will we allow ourselves to embrace it even if we know this means changes for me? Will we, like Mary, trust that this is an idea worth pondering in our hearts, worth meditating on, worth remembering, worth welcoming into our lives? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. You are favored by God. I put a little affirmation in the bulletin to help us open up to those angel messages that are coming our way. It simply says, and it's just something to repeat each day to help open your mind. It says, I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. Let's say that together. Together? I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. And again, I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. And again, I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. Close your eyes and let that thought settle in for a second. Each day we have the opportunity to decide whether we're going to be open to the angel's message for that day or not. So I invite us each day to affirm, I am open and receptive. I am open and receptive to angel message, to inspired ideas, to words, to thoughts, to those things that come from the mind of God, the realm of God, that awaken me to new experiences, that allow us to give birth to that divine part in us. For indeed, each of us is God's creation, a part of God, favored by God. We have to be. We're here. God is with us. Have to be. Can't be there without God. So each day, may we say to ourselves, until we finally get to the day where we really mean it, may we say and remind ourselves each day, I'm open and receptive to God's angel messages. I'm open and receptive to the angel messengers that are here for me this day to receive the messages from God, from our source, from our Creator. The messages that will allow us to experience tidings of great joy, great joy, great blessing, not just at Christmas. So let's open our eyes and share that affirmation together again. Together we say, I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. And one more time. I am open and receptive to the angel messages of my Creator. And so we are. And so it is. Amen.